A new mental health crisis line, 988, is set to go live across the country this July. I'm Dan Gorenstein, host of the health policy podcast, Trade-Offs. More than 50 million Americans struggle with mental illness. Fewer than half get treatment. 988 is meant to change that. A simple three-digit number to make it easy for people dealing with addiction, mental illness, or suicide to get help fast. With about a month before the new line launches, there are serious concerns about its readiness. Trade-Offs producer Ryan Levy has been following this story. Ryan, first, briefly explain how 988 is even going to work.
So right now, Dan, there are over 200 call centers nationwide that are part of the 10-digit National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And so on July 16th, all of those centers will start answering 988 calls as well as chats and texts. And researchers estimate that about 80% of calls will be dealt with on the phone, and the rest will require some kind of in-person response.
Now, you've spent the last few months focusing on the people who will actually be answering these 988 calls. What have you learned, Ryan?
Put simply, Dan, there's not enough of them. There's no official count, but based on my reporting, there are still hundreds of open positions nationwide. And just about every 988 person I talked with said hiring is their number one concern. Jennifer Battle, who runs the Lifeline and 988 for a large mental health agency in Houston, told me that she's already short-staffed, and that's before calls potentially quadruple in 988's first year.
The reality is that the staff that are already there doing this work, taking these calls, are having to bear too much of that. We need new people. We need them now.
So what are 988 centers doing to try to get more people hired?
Well, many of them are raising wages. Jennifer Battle was able to boost starting salaries at her agency from $42,000 to $51,000 a year. A lot of them are offering remote work options and hiring people from other cities or states. And because so many centers don't have the people they need, the federal government has delayed its big 988 awareness campaign until next year. But 988 is still going live, Dan. And without enough call takers, some folks in crisis will not get their calls answered. And that could be a life or death situation for them.
This is really high stakes stuff. Now, these 988 counselors, obviously, Ryan, are going to be taking some really intense calls from people who are very much hurting. What do we know about this workforce, aside from the fact that there are not enough of them?
Well, we didn't come across any research on 988 or Lifeline workers in particular, but we do have some evidence on 911 call takers. And that research shows that large percentages of them struggle with depression and physical pain, and about a quarter have symptoms of PTSD, which, Dan, that's equal to or even higher than the rates among police officers and firefighters.
Same or equal rate than the people on the scene. So what steps, Ryan, are these 988 centers taking to build a strong workforce to avoid ending up in the same boat as 911 call takers?
Well, we know that being properly trained is really important. So there's a new standardized training program that's set to roll out this fall. And centers are also taking steps to protect their staff's mental health, things like hosting regular debriefings at the end of shifts and hiring more supervisors to support the frontline staff.
Trade-Offs producer Ryan Levy. Thanks so much, Ryan.
No problem, Dan.
To hear more about how 988 is trying to avoid 911's workforce mistakes, check out the full episode wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Trade-Offs.